Well, here it is, Sunday night on 700 WLW. Tonight, as usual, taking a look at something different, unusual, and something that we've talked about before. Many of you from coast to coast have talked about this. You've called from Texas, Arizona, out west, all over the country. And what they're talking to me about and sending pictures, and it's been on several websites, is Morgellons disease. This is not something that is just some wacky, kooky idea, I don't suppose. I'm not a doctor, and I can't attest to that portion of it, but there are people who are convinced, and they have convinced their doctors to take a serious look at this. You may not be familiar with this, but it's got mysterious conditions marked by a sensation of insects crawling underneath the people's skin and sores that erupt and release a black speck or fibers that are sometimes white, sometimes clear, or even blue or red. Now, some of the complaints of the surfer, of the sufferers, is that loss of memory, poor balance, and difficulty paying attention. There are thousands of people across the country think they have contacted this, and their numbers are growing at a rapid pace, and it's got the medical community is far from convinced, as they're always skeptical, and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention will investigate. We're going to find out. Well, Morgellons is not a recognized disease, but it's a condition named just a few years ago by the mother of the boy who suffered the symptoms. Now, many doctors dismiss the patient's complaint as simply an insect bite or their delusional about being infected by parasites. The fibers are nothing but bits of skin or lint from clothing, they say. Until someone can prove it, one doctor said, I'm not going to believe it. And that's Stacy Bitty, a dermatologist in St. Louis University. I usually diagnose these patients as delusion. But a small number of the doctors and scientists have begun to take this Morgellon seriously. Their primary finding suggests at least some of the sufferers have real symptoms and don't fit the doctor's usual explanation. The CDC announced its investigation after a barrage of phone calls and even inquiries from members of Congress. Now, if you'll remember, some months ago, along with Dr. Cass Ingram, he was my guest that night, people called in and had this disease. If you're out there tonight and you're listening and you have had or have this disease, I want you to call. My guest tonight is a gentleman who has been researching this from a different perspective. Only because of his former research and background that it caught his eye. And when I spoke with him this week, he startled me with some of his conclusions. Tonight, we're going to take a look at those through the eyes of my guest, Mike Castle. Mike, thank you so much for joining me, sir.
Yes, good evening, Bill. Thank you.
I know for a fact that there are people going, oh, well, here we go again. It's another one of those conspiracy theories or something. Let me explain something to you. I have no conspiracy about this, and the theory is it's not mine. The people who are in pain that have reported this to you, Mike, and the things that you've told me about are absolutely defining moments in medicine. They're going to make some changes. Somebody's going to have to answer to this.
Well, somebody's going to have to answer to something, but while they're busy doing that in St. Louis, and the dermatologist that you spoke of in the meantime, you know, I mean, they can clamor up to be a self-appointed expert at something, but I can tell you it's not in this, because this has nothing to do with dermatology from the standpoint of what it is, because this is under the skin, this is in the body, and there's been a lot of research done on it to the same way we've done the chemtrails, was actually going in and looking at their technologies that they had developed, and of course they want to brag about it. So they put this nanotechnology, this is big panorama stuff. This is something that's smaller than a bacterium, but yet it self-assembles itself. It replicates and self-assembles, even references to artificial proteins, things like this. Now, somebody, in fact, whoever it is that's going to answer this, is going to cower down and kind of hide in subterfuge once again, because they don't have any clue on how to, in fact, disinfect people who have this disease. And the ones who have, the Morgellon sufferers now, in fact, are somewhat panicked into a sense of there are no answers. They're just calling us, was it delusional parasitosis?
Yes. Mike, do some of the people have bites on their lips or around their mouth?
They have infections. These infections, in fact, erupt and become even more infected by bacterium and sores of the mouth and the lips and so on and so forth. But it's the fibers that, in fact, that have been extracted from these erupted sores on the mouth. Now, as far as bites, there's nothing that, in fact, can demonstrate that this come from some type of insect bite, because an insect bite doesn't, in fact, counter-infect the person with something that, quite frankly, nothing affects it. Nothing gets rid of it. It doesn't heal up. So it's something that, well, I'll put it like this. The fibers that, in fact, grow out of the body's pores, the hairs, someone, in fact, pulled a 7-inch fiber out of their body and took a picture of it. So now this is not something that's coming from a disease that's carried by a bird, and then it goes into their dung, and it causes these fibroids to generate itself, such as somebody down in Texas in the medical field has suggested as a response to this Morgellons on the Wren show.
Well, here's the problem I have with it. A lady, she saves the fibers. She's taken them out of her body. She takes them to her doctor, and he totally disregards them.
He does not want to touch them.
He won't handle them.
No. As a matter of fact, there have been people that have been banned from their doctor's offices because they do not want them in there.
And
have this disease.
When he picked her, apparently one time the doctor watched while she pushed the fibers from one of her fingers, and the doctor pulled it out with a pair of tweezers, left the examination room. He came back and he said it was nothing, just skin. She said, I sat outside in my truck and cried for a while the sores could no longer keep her. She couldn't keep her job. The medical bills have exhausted her savings, and you can well imagine what this done. I told him something was wrong and with me, and nobody believes me, she said. The medical conditions from infestation to strokes or drug abuse can cause kinds of itching and skin-crawling sensation associated with Morgellon. Now, the number tonight, 749-7000, 1-800-843-2441, and #700 on the Singular Wireless. Now, did you, Mike, say that you wanted people to call you if they had this disease?
Yes, I would appreciate it if they would call in this evening, because we have a listener crowd out there of other people who, in fact, are taking a stand to look at this, such as Dr. Staniger
uh-huh.
in California. And, of course, this is all coordinated through Shoshana Allison, which I believe you know. She's more like the media events coordinator. We, in fact, can put these people in touch with those people who have gathered a large group of people who are in the medical fields already, somewhat renegades like ourselves, in finding answers and not paying attention to these people, and in fact just say, this is just delusional parasitosis. There's one person I think that maybe you might want to have on your program also. His name is Cliff Mickelson. He's been on a number of these shows, and he, in fact, claims to have this disease. And he was somewhat in my inner circle of friends, and then all of a sudden I found out that he knew about this. Not only did he know about it, he suspected he had it, and he'd done a lot of research on it. But it's a type of individual that can in fact call off symptoms and some of the reliefs that he's been able to find, because that's what these people are looking for. They're looking for not just sympathy. They're looking for some type of relief.
Absolutely.
That's a whole chapter by itself.
Okay. Let's take a pause in the action. You get on your phone. We'll be right here. We'll tell you you're at the home of the best bingo coverage, 700 WLW. Back on the big one, 700 WLW. Bobo Shears till 12 o'clock tonight. My guest is Mike Castle. He is an environmental specialist and researcher, scientist, and all-around good guy, and looking at this for people all over the country. Let's go to the phones, and we'll take your calls, 749-7000, 1-800-843-2441, and #700 on the singular wireless. We'll get you in. My guest and I remind you, if you have Morgellons or know somebody who has, they probably should get in touch with Mike or the show tonight, right here. Elizabeth Newport, you're on the air.
Hi. Yeah, I want to run two things past you, so let me do the two things and then comment. There was a lady a couple months ago that actually called in the show.
Yes.
With Morgellons, and here's what she said, because I'd never heard this. She said some little tiny bugs came out of a sore, and she tried to grab it, but she couldn't. And then the other thing she said, she thought something about cotton balls because she had it on her face, and she had met an older man in Israel who said he had had it for 20 years in his ear, and he said he thought it came from cotton. Now, Cass Ingram commented, and he said, you know, these genetically modified crops, that any kind of crop can be in this, and so, you know, according to this lady, and it sounds interesting, the fibers and everything, it might have something to do with this cotton. So I thought I'd throw that at
you. I'm glad you did, Elizabeth. You reminded me of that. I didn't bring that up, but
yeah.
You're right.
Yeah, I hope she's listening.
I do, too. I hope she calls in. The idea that, and Mike touched on this off air. I appreciate it, Elizabeth. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye. Mike, the idea that there's a guy in an airplane somewhere spraying something in the air called a chemtrail that has something in it that will interact with another life form, and an individual on Earth might breathe that in. Let's call it a dust spore or something. And whatever this is coming down out of the plane mixes with that. Its DNA changes. We breathe it in, and then it comes out through our skin. Is that too far-fetched?
No, that's one of the scenarios that, in fact, has happened many a time, and to comment very clearly on the cotton. That's what I mentioned Clifford Mickelson here a moment ago. He'd done a lot of research himself and found out that it was cotton, in fact, had an infestation of this stuff. Very scary, bizarre stuff. I mean, I never...
Well, if you're growing it in another country and you're using genetically modified cotton seeds, it only stands to reason that there might be something genetically growing in the cotton.
Yes, the way that this particular, it's not an animal either, but the way that this machine in fact replicates is it uses the DNA of whatever it's infesting.
You're saying this is a machine?
This is a machine. This is nanotechnology. Very clearly, the blue fibers have been identified as golden heads. The red fibers, in fact, it's just the bizarreness, remember the word I used earlier, of the things that people have already, in fact, encountered when they have this infestation. Now, these sticky webs, aerial webs, in fact, when they fall upon you, I found out myself that they're soluble in a compound that contains isobutyric acid and saline. That's common sweat and body oils. It's soluble in it, and in fact, it just diffuses into the upper layers of the skin, hence that's how it enters the body and then through the bloodstream. We're tracking all this to get pinpoint accuracy on just how you can get infested with it outside of breathing the small particles.
Wow.
We do know that, in fact, this breaks up into millions and millions of little shards, and it can be inhaled. It does infest other life forms. As a matter of fact, probably all life forms that have had this encounter with these this technology. I called it a silica-based life form a long time ago, and again, look at the word life stuck in that sentence. It in fact, is not based on carbon. It's based on something else.
Well,
analytically, they found silicone in there. They found just all kinds of, well, exotic things that have nothing to do with biological life, and that's the terrorizing part.
Here these people are spraying this stuff in the air.
For some reason.
They're telling us, as I hear it repeated, we're spraying this in the air for weather modification.
That's the bigger panorama of weather modification, where barium and other types of chemicals are used. Aluminums and bariums are used. That certainly enhances this other nanotechnology. But these little machines, in fact, can utilize just about any body chemistries to pull out components.
Who's making the machines that we're spraying?
There are federally approved contractors, and there are also professional industrial institutes, I'll put it that way, contractual agreements with very large corporations.
Would Wackenhut be one of them?
Well, I tell you what, for fear of, we'll put this out into as an evidentiary once we, in fact, are able to publish who the names of the contractors are, and they are huge, federally approved contractors.
Well, when you do that, will you come back and identify those for us?
I certainly will.
All right. Let's go right back to the phones. Let's go to Martin in Eaton. Martin, you're on the air.
Hey, Bill. I hope I don't get hauled off to some kind of, like, isolation camp for, like, maybe having this thing. But, like, when I was, like, an adolescent, probably, like, 17, 18, I had, like, a couple, like, big pimples like that with the little hairs in it. I didn't think they were alive or anything. But since then, I became really interested in nutrition. And as a result of, like, really doing a lot with nutrition, I really don't have hardly any problems at all anymore. Mm-hmm. So what the guy might want to look at maybe would be, do the people that have that have one in particular thing, like a deficiency?
Well,
and also, like, aromatherapy oils. Like, if someone's, like, bugging out about stuff, they could use lavender oil, and it would be really safe. And if there was anything on your skin, it would kill it.
Okay. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, there's a solution already. I knew there'd be a solution to this.
Mineralogy, in fact, is a very is probably the key component part of any nutrient design. But I don't think we know enough yet about these little monsters to, in fact, be able to begin to say that just keeping a healthier nutrient level in the body, in fact, is going to manifest itself into keeping these things at bay. We don't know that yet, but however, that is always a very good idea, such as AIDS sufferers found out that is, in fact, a very good thing to do, and that's to keep the body at peak level in mineral nutrients.
All right. The number 749-7000, 1-800-843-2441, and pound on pound sign and 700 on a singular wireless will get you in. Mike Castle, he's an authority on chemtrails, and this has turned into a nightmare for people suffering from something called Morgellons disease. If you know somebody, or if you had it, or have had it, or whatever, we'd like to hear from you. There are people that are researching this that would like to talk with you. Now, back on the big one, 700 WLW, Bill Boshears till 12 o'clock, snuck up on me there. My guest is Mike Castle. He is a engineer. Mike, what are your titles? You've got more damn titles than I've got relatives.
I've had my own consulting engineering firm for about 20 years now, and I practice in the field of risk auditing and assessment, and I do environmental audit assessments. I'm a my background is as a chemist, a polymer chemist, an industrial polymer chemist, and I've done just about everything that you can think of in between there. But my business, in fact, is auditing and assessing environmental impacts from chemicals. And being a chemist, that qualifies me to, in fact, let's just say interface with the toxicological side of
there you go.
The equation.
There you go. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Catherine in Beaver Creek. Catherine, you're on the air with Mike Gatson.
Yes, hi.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Okay. I am in my mid-60s, and for the past 3 years, I've had a scalp condition that has also gone to my body. Lost my hair, been to 10-plus doctors, including the Cleveland Clinic, on all kinds of salves, ointments, and whatever, and they always end up telling me to go to a psychiatrist. The only thing I did find out was that I was high in mercury. I had my metal fillings taken out of my mouth, but I still have the condition.
Well, have you ever had any of the conditions that we've described here with pulling black specks out with fibers on them?
Well, I haven't noticed that. I mean, I didn't
look
for
it. Does your skin feel like it's crawling?
At times.
Oh.
Can I ask you a question? Did you said you live in Beaver Creek?
Right.
That's just outside of Dayton?
Right.
Wright-Patterson Air Force Base?
Yes.
Okay. I happen to know something about the potential environmental impact of the airspace in and above Wright-Patterson, particularly from the standpoint of the chemtrails protests that we've held. There are and have been aircraft that have been outfitted with various types of technologies and chemicals that are used in weather modification. The National Atmospheric Research Lab there is very key in the role of this. And many times when those aircraft come in fact, or take off, they, in fact, will lose some of these chemicals. And
well, those planes go over my house almost every day.
They're spread in all the flight patterns. They go in and out of that particular airspace.
Mm-hmm.
I can say that if you have a condition, have you ever had any screening for barium or aluminum in your metals?
Not those two.
Barium and aluminum?
I've had scalp biopsies. They've checked me for almost everything you can think of.
Right.
But they didn't check you for barium and
aluminum.
That's,
I don't think so.
Well, you might look at it. Might be. I'll tell you what I'll do, Catherine. I'll give your number off air to... if you would like for me to, I would give it to Mike, and he can call you. How's that?
Oh, that'd be fine.
Mike, is that all right with you?
That's great, yeah.
All right, we'll do it that way. Thank you, Catherine. Appreciate it. Let's go to Marilyn in Newcastle. Marilyn, you're on the air.
Yes, Thanksgiving Day, there was a lot. It looked like spider webs in the sky, and they were vertical.
Yes.
And blowing just gently through the air, and there were some of them were like masses, and they were getting caught in the trees, and the sun was shining on them like a spider web, and it made them kind of glisten in the sun. And
I've heard about, Mike, have you heard of this?
Yeah, well, no, that is exactly what they are, Catherine. Marilyn, they are in fact the sticky webs.
Mm-hmm.
If you noticed in the contrails in the sky, if you notice these short ticked patches, if you will, you know, it just not continuous, but short ticked areas that tend to become voluminous, and in fact they will have ground fall in 4 to 6 hours. Now, you didn't touch these, did you?
No, they were, you know, way up in the air.
Right.
I didn't see any that fell to the ground.
Right. Okay,
they were traveling along very slowly, but they were all vertical.
Yes.
And some were like in masses, but it looked just like spider webs. And I've seen them in years past, but I've never seen so many as I did Thanksgiving Day.
Did you see the chemtrails prior to it?
We have chemtrails all the time over our house.
Yeah, we got them all
the time.
You're
in Indiana, Maryland?
Yes, Indiana.
Newcastle, Indiana? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and Thanksgiving Day was, they just painted the sky.
Boy, they
did,
didn't they? I remember seeing
them.
I thought, geez, look at that. Marilyn, I appreciate your call. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
People are reporting more and more of this. Let's go to Rosie and Marion. Rosie, you're on the air.
Yes, Mike. I've had some experience, very strange. I have been doing crafts all my life, and about 3 years ago, I was outside the spray painting. And when I went out to check the baskets, it's just like my land, that looks like spider webs. And when I looked at it, it looked like it was like a chain link appearance. And I said, where'd that come from? And never in my life has that ever happened.
Mm-hmm.
And that lady that had called in, I heard her, she had called in about the cotton, and she had been told by a doctor that he put one of those cotton swabs, under portion of it, underneath the microscope, and it did show there were mites there. I thought that was interesting. Thank you,
I appreciate
Mike.
It, Rosie. Thank you.
Thank you.
See, Mike, they listen.
Oh, yes, and there's people that have looked at these things, and Cliff Mickelson, I keep referring to him. I talked to him, been many months ago, and he actually done a lot of studies on cotton. He done a lot of studies on the hairs that he was pulling out of his body and the things they didn't like.
Well,
so
next time you talk to him, ask him if he'd like to come on here, and we'll do another show with him. How's that?
I certainly will.
Back on the Big One 700 WLW, my guest is Mike Castle, talking about chemtrails and a disease which he believes that is related to it called Morgellons disease. If you have had it or are having it, we'd like to hear from you. Let's go back to the phones, if you will. Mike, let's go to Steve in Chillicothe. Steve, you're on the air.
Hey, Bill.
Yes, sir.
does this have anything to do with global warming?
No.
I mean, the gentleman, your guest, does he have any rendition as to why they're doing this chemtrail thing? Sorry.
Well, no, Steve, the chemtrails, in fact, there are, in fact, direct linkages to them trying to put things such as high-altitude reflectance in the air, up in the upper atmosphere, to deflect sunlight, if you will, and various types of radiation, UV being one of them, and trying to deflect those back in outer space. And yes, they've done that, and they've done that for quite some time.
I wonder if they've heard anything like gravity. You shoot it out, it's got to fall.
4 to 6 hours after you see it, it's going to, in fact, make groundfall, the chemtrails.
It's just an amazing process. I mean,
I find that the planet is starting to wake up. I mean, all this stuff is coming to the forefront. It's hard to confront, but we better confront it sooner or later, you know?
You're absolutely right.
We've got war that is very diversional in our what we, in fact, it's really going on. But this was done without no one's permission. They didn't ask anybody to do this, and it's a huge business, and it's global. It's not just here in the United States. It's
Mike, I don't know about you, Mike, but I watch in the studio, not here, but in my home studio, we're watching the news, and they'll run commercials with chemtrails in them.
Right.
Of cars, you know, selling cars, and you'll see a chemtrail in the background, in the overshot, in the foreground.
Well, they can't find a sky to take a shot of that doesn't have one in it.
That doesn't have one in it. Unbelievable stuff.
It is.
Bill, can I ask a quick question?
Yes, sir.
I just have one question for you. Sir?
Yes, sir.
Since you're your expertise in the area there, is there any way that the conditions, be the humidity factor or whatever, that would allow the trail being just a regular vapor trail to linger that long? Is there any conditions that would allow that or not?
No, there are not.
Okay. That was an argument that posed to me, and not having knowledgeable in that area, I kind of winced.
There you go. You got the answer, Steve. Appreciate it.
Okay, one last thing, Bill. I want to send you a DVD, and you'd be amazed. Anyway.
Love to see it. Take care.
All right.
Please send it to the station here. I'll get it, okay?
Okay, my friend.
Gotcha. Thank you. Let's go to, is it Diane? Hello, Diane?
Yes.
You're on the air.
Thank you. I've had this going on 4 years now.
What have you got?
I have sores. I have scars all over me.
Uh-oh.
I have the sores where the first dermatologist that I went to, he told me not to touch them, not to clean them, not to do anything to them, that I'm messing with these things too much. When I don't clean them and I leave them be, it's like they actually eat a hole in my skin. In order for them to heal, it's like you have to remove that crust. I went to 5 dermatologists. I've gotten the same thing to go to a psychiatrist, which I do, and I am. I went to an infectious disease doctor.
Wait a minute. You went to a psychiatrist. The hell did he tell you? Don't scratch it.
He actually helped me more than the doctors or the infectious disease doctor. He gave me a parasite medicine to take. He gave me ointment.
May I ask what it was, a parasite medicine?
Oh, it begins with an M. I'm not at home. I'm at my daughter's.
Okay.
But I could, you know, somehow.
No, it's quite all right. As long as you're getting treatment and you feel good.
Well, I had, they were completely almost all gone. And I went, they had talked me in that I, instead of going to the psychiatrist, I should go to the infectious disease doctor, which I did. I stopped doing what the psychiatrist told me to do and did what the infectious disease doctor told me to do.
Uh-huh.
And after a month or so, I started getting covered with them again.
So did you go back to the
Right. I go to him.
Uh-huh.
But it's not under control. It's like they start with a little pussy, tiny pimple, it looks like. It seems like if I take a tweezers and remove that pus and clean them with peroxide right away and put, like, the ointment on that he's given me, it'll it stops. It seems like it won't go any further.
But
you should see me.
No,
I have scars all over me. And I still have them. I think they're going to be all gone. And then I find another one, and it seems like sometimes it's like a skippy thing, like there's a little, a dot, then a skip, and then a dot, and then a skip, like the, what is the mite? Is it scabies?
I don't know.
It looks similar to that.
Okay. Hang on there a minute, Diane. Mike,
yes.
Have you got enough here?
Well, yeah. And Diane, where is your location, and where did you?
I live in Cincinnati, Ohio, in Western Hills.
Okay. And you've always been there since you've had this condition.
Yes, I have.
By the way, Diane, let me ask you a quick question.
Yes.
Do you live in the flight path from the airport?
The planes that from Kentucky.
Yes.
That fly over.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I actually live. Muddy Creek. I don't know.
I understand. I know right where it's at.
Yeah.
Right where it's at.
But and I have sprayed baskets outside, and I have seen those spider webs that she's talking about on my baskets when I went out after I thought they were dry.
Okay.
But I've about lost my mind.
I can well imagine.
Well, as a matter of fact, that's what they in fact want to infer is that you did, and it's called
Who wouldn't?
Ceratosis.
I want to say to them, what would you do if I were your wife and you seen her body like this? What would you do?
Exactly.
My God, I mean, it's like they just look at you and say, you need a psychiatrist.
Does anybody else in your family have this, Diane?
No.
How about, do you have a dog? Does he have it? Or?
I have cats. That was the first thing we did. We had them all checked out. I even took things to my veterinarian.
Uh-huh.
He helped me. I mean, I have fought every. I don't even go to the doctor anymore because I don't want to hear it, and I don't want to.
I understand.
One of them even said they look like cigarette burns.
Well, they don't want you in their office, be quite honest.
I would assume so.
They don't want you in there because they don't know what they're dealing with. So
they don't. That's why don't I know? And why don't they just say that to you?
Right.
You know, I don't know what you have.
And some of the people are like Dr. Cardew over, I mean, these names are very prominent in dermatology and epidemiology, along with Dr. Staninger. They've actually photographed that crust that you mentioned a moment ago.
Right.
They in fact photomicrographed that.
And what did it look like?
And it's up on the Morgellon site.
It's up on that Morgellon site. You can go there and look it up, Diane. But I'll tell you, I have to break. I'm up against a break.
Thanks for calling.
Both of you. Appreciate it, Diane. Thank you. Back on the Big One 700 WLW. My guest is Mike Castle. Let's go to Houston. And, Lori, you're on the air with Mike Castle.
Hey, how you doing? It's Lori.
Hello, Lori.
Hello, Mike. Hi, Bill.
Hi.
Hi. I was just calling because I wanted to jump in on this conversation. Mike and I know each other. We've known each other for several years. We're investigators in the chemtrail and now the Morgellons situation.
Okay.
And I wanted to give a couple bullet points to people to just kind of help them get a little perspective on this.
Yes.
One of the things that infuriates me about this issue is the way people are being treated by the medical establishment. To be told that growing fibers out of your body is a delusional thing, you know, I mean, these things are there. And if that's the case, I'd like to have them explain about Drew. Drew's the son of the woman who put the name Morgellons to this affliction. Drew's had Morgellons since he was 2 years old. Now, how does a two-year-old get delusional enough to know how to grow fibers out of his body?
Right.
You know, that doesn't make sense to me. These people that have been suffering with this,
Lori, do you know, let me interrupt you, Lori. Do you know if Drew had all of his vaccinations?
That I don't know. And well, that would be a very interesting thing to find out.
That would be an interesting point to start.
Mm-hmm.
Because we see all of that crap they shoot into these kids and call it a vaccination. Jesus.
About the fibers themselves, too, there are some people that are taking it seriously. Randy Wymore of Oklahoma State University, he's been working with the Tulsa Police Department looking at the fibers. I think he's been working on this for about a year now, hasn't he, Mike?
Yeah, I believe I'm.
Yeah, well, they compared them to 900 synthetic compounds and 100,000 organic compounds, and they don't match any of them. So that pretty much eliminates most known organic or synthetic compounds.
That
so
really
then,
puts a kink in that other theory, too, don't
they?
It?
And if if these people are going in for tests, how can there be a test for something that they don't know what it is?
How can you test for something that doesn't have anything?
Exactly.
Lori, I want to invite you. My email is bill@scizone.com. I want you to put together some stuff and get it to me. We'll do this again, all right?
We'd be glad to do that. And I really appreciate your taking the time to doing this. And, Mike, as always, your hard work. Because there's, you know, you throw the words conspiracy theories around, you know. All a conspiracy is two or more people agreeing to a covert action or a plan.
I've been doing that for years.
That never happens, you know.
Done that with several ladies.
Well, for me, you know, those words, they just represent a cultural meme that's been installed by the control factors activate the giggle factor of the issue. And thereby, it just diverts the attention from the truth of the issue.
It does.
Unfortunately, the technique works very well.
It does.
But you have intelligent listeners. Think for yourself.
Thank you, dear. And quickly, last one here. Let's do this. D in College Corner, quickly.
Hi, Bill.
Yes.
Yeah, we tuned in late, and on Thanksgiving Day, my boyfriend and his dad, they were touched, like the fibers or the little things floating in the air.
Yeah.
We didn't get to hear the repercussions of doing that.
Well, I don't know what to tell you.
Well,
Mike, are there any repercussions? We got about 30 seconds.
No, I can't say that there's going to be something that's going to happen, but I would be very careful to watch to make sure you don't have any erupting sores or something like that. But you need to listen in to these people that are doing this research because it is very important. No one else is going to in fact, assist on this, but you just need to...
You need to get in on it.
...baseline knowledge of what's going on here.
D, stay tuned. We'll do more of it. I got to run them up against a break. Thank you, dear. Mike, I want to thank you for stopping by here tonight. Mike, can we do this again as these updates come in?
Yes, we will, Bill. And I also want to say that we have a national entity that, in fact, is going to do some serious top-flight research by assembling a task force. And I'm on that task force with a lot of these other people. And, you know, we're going to find out what this is. And it's got nothing to do with exposing somebody who's doing this.
Please, keep us in posted, and by all means, keep me posted, and we'll get the message out.
I will.
I appreciate it. Thank you, and great.
Thank you,
stay safe, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Bill Beausires. This is the home of the best Bengal coverage, 700 WLW.